Hello there, everybody, and welcome to Musings on Golf, a weekly podcast with great storytelling about the great game of golf. My name is Kelly Elbin, along with my co-host Bob Bupka. For the past year or so, we have brought you Musings on Sports with outstanding guests from the wide world of sports. Jim Nance was our first guest about this time last year. And both Bob and I are veterans of the golf industry, and we decided we're going to share our passion and knowledge of golf and bring in some great guests from golf, starting off with Zach Johnson, the 2023 U.S. Ryder Cup captain. He's our first guest later today. Hey, Bob, great way to start a brand new podcast, which is dovetailing off a very successful podcast in Musings on Sports. It's now Musings on Golf.
Well, you're right about that, Kelly. I feel like I got a tee time down at the end of Magnolia Lane coming up next week. I'm excited about this venture. I think it's our strong suit. We certainly know a lot more about golf than probably any other sport. With your extensive background with the PGA of America, with my getting long in the tooth behind the microphone, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope very enjoyable for our very important listeners.
Well, that's the thing, is I think our listeners will enjoy it. Nothing long in the tooth, by the way, with you, Bob Bupka. Young at heart every day, I know. And, you know, we've already interviewed Zach Johnson, and maybe just give a little preview, Bob, from your take and what we heard from Zach and what our listeners are going to hear. You've known Zach for a while. I mean, this is a guy who was not exactly blessed with talent immediately out of school, went to Drake University, played a number of mini tours, been really a grinder in so many ways, and doggone if he didn't win two major championships, the 2007 Masters, the 2015 Open Championship at St. Andrews in a four-hole playoff. You really have always liked Zach, and talk about a straight shooter, huh?
Absolutely. A strong man of faith, a great family man, and I can honestly say, and there are several players that obviously fit the bill, but you know, Zach's the real deal, on the course, off the course. He's a gritty competitor, and he didn't only win two majors. That's what I try and strive to everybody. He won two majors, all right, but they were the Masters, and they were the Open Championship at St. Andrews. Yeah. I mean, those two are a lot more than just winning two majors.
Well, and Zach is unusual as well in recent Ryder Cup captains for the U.S. in that he has had a winning record as a player in his Ryder Cup time. I think he's a really good fit. I think that they're coming off an incredible display of prowess. Certainly, great putting at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin 2 years ago, and that should carry them over to outside of Rome, where the Ryder Cup is going to be played this year. Now, all that said, Bob, it has, in fact, been 30 years since the United States won the Ryder Cup on European soil. And that's a huge mountain that, as talented as they may be, that Zach and his team are going to have to climb and reach the top. Now, 30 years have passed as well. That was your very first Ryder Cup at the Belfry. The U.S. prevailed by 2 points, 15-13, and very emotional for the U.S. to win there. What do you recall? What stands out to you 30 years ago, the Ryder Cup with the U.S. prevailing?
Well, what stands out is not really good memories, but I'll share them. You know, I got the call that I was going to be covering the Ryder Cup in Europe. I had never been to Europe. So first off, I got my plane reservation. That was not a problem. And then I got into car rental. And I distinctly remember them asking me what size I want. And it was just going to be me. And I figured I'd save some money. I said, let me have the smallest car you have. Well, lo and behold, when I get there, it looked like they put me on a skateboard with a windshield. And I started off down those roads. I'd be doing 50, 60 miles an hour. And people were flying by me. And then horror really struck because I had the directions to go. There were no GPS then. And I went into a roundabout. And I kept trying to find the exit. And I couldn't, so I kept going around and around and around and around, which later turned out to be the advice. When I finally got to the belfry, I saw a security guard that was guarding the parking lot, and he said, how was your trip here? I said, well, a little trouble once I got in that roundabout. He said, no, no, no. He says, here's the key. You get in that roundabout, you get as close to the center circle, and just go around and round till you're comfortable with your exit, and then go off. The other thing I distinctly remember, I was driving down a rather small street, and cars obviously were parked on the opposite side that I was used to, and I hear just a minor thud, and I go about 500 yards down the road, finally get a place to pull over, and my driver's side mirror looked like it had been surgically removed from the car. I mean, it just wasn't there, but there wasn't a lot of damage, fortunately, because the damage actually was so small, when I turned in my rental, they walked around the car, and I said, uh-oh, here it comes, and did not notice the mirror. I said, thank you very much, and I paid my bill. So what I remember, not good, and of course, what made it great and made all that hard work pay off was the fact that the U.S. did win the Ryder Cup at the Belfry. And little did anybody know, Kelly, that that would be the last time that we went on European soil. And now we're up to 2023. Seems improbable, but it's certainly the truth. And it just going to make Zach's job just a little tougher because – And I've said this for quite a while, and I think the atmosphere is changing with the American side now, Kelly. But for years, the sentiment was on making the Ryder Cup. American players were very keen on making the Ryder Cup team. The European players were keen on winning the Ryder Cup, and that was the major difference in their attitudes going into the matches. But I think Zach's going to be able to inspire them enough. If you can't get inspired by Zach Johnson, you just can't get inspired.
Well said. And, you know, going along the lines of what you're talking about with the car issues, the Europeans really have inflicted a lot of damage on the U.S. over these past, 14 or 15 matches that have been played in Europe since 93. And when you look at the U.S. team, okay, you've got a lot of young, talented players who are hungry, and now they're starting to win, Bob. And as you said, they want to win. It's not just about showing up. And they're experienced at a young age. A lot of these guys are still in their 20s, early 30s, and they've got the taste of victory. You look at a young guy like Sam Burns, who won the WGC Dell Technologies match play last week. Tremendous player. He represented the U.S. on the President's Cup. He played a lot of golf, played a lot of it really well in match play. And I think the fact that he had been, playing on the President's Cup was a big deal to him. Let's hear what Sam had to say, first of all, about winning the match play in Austin.
Crazy week. I didn't really know what to expect coming into this week. It's my first time playing this event, and I feel like I gained a little bit more confidence as, each match kind of played on. And then, this week is as mentally exhausting as it is physically.
So I think that confidence, part of that was from his time with the President's Cup. And then he was asked later on, okay, this is a Ryder Cup year. You guys have had success in the Ryder Cup. What would it mean to you, Sam Burns, to be on the Ryder Cup team?
Oh, it'd be a dream come true. Being on the President's Cup team and having that experience was, unbelievable. And, such a fun experience being, on a team with those guys and world-class players and be able to learn from them and have that experience with them. So, yeah, it'd be a dream come true to be on the team.
Bob, what do you think?
Absolutely spot on. Sam Burns is the real deal. He had a real tough match in match play going up against Scottie Scheffler, who they happen to be best friends. They vacation together. They do a lot of things together. And it's not always easy playing your best friend. But Sam Burns pulled that victory off. Now he's going to be ready, certainly, when we get to Rome in September. And right now, I hope to represent Musings on Golf in Rome, yep, covering that Ryder Cup in person.
Well, I hope so, too. And a lot that you're going to enjoy hearing from Zach Johnson, the 2023 U.S. Ryder Cup captain. And you'll hear from Zach right after this from Titleist.
Titleist is the number one ball in golf. Yes, being number one is a number, and more players trust the Pro V1 or Pro V1X than all other golf balls combined. But being number one is more than a number. It's a mindset. It's a relentless mission to design and manufacture the best performing golf balls in the game, so you can chase whatever your number one is. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Welcome back to Musings on Golf. Kelly Elbin along with Bob Bupka. And Bob, we are honored to be joined by the gentleman who will lead the United States this fall as it tries to win the Ryder Cup in Europe for the first time since 1993. He's a two-time major champion. Five times he has represented the U.S. as a Ryder Cup player, and twice he's been a vice captain. And now he's in charge. Captain Zach Johnson, welcome to Musings on Golf.
Yay, thanks, gentlemen. Good to be with y'all.
Hey, Zach, you know, when you say two-time major winner, it doesn't really accurately describe what you accomplished. I mean, two-time major winner, the Masters, and the Open Championship. I mean, good golly, Miss Molly. When you came into the business, when you turned pro, did you even allow yourself to dream that someday you were going to be wearing that green jacket and someday you're going to be hoisting the claret jug?
Not at all. When I came into the game, you know, obviously I wanted to play at the highest of levels. I wanted to compete against the best players, but my dreams never went as far as those two, you know, notions right there of donning the jacket and certainly hoisting the claret jug. I mean, you know, once I started playing in those events, yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, the dreams may have started to surface, but prior to that, no chance. I mean, I was such a late bloomer in the game as far as, you know, my competency goes. And, you know, I thought, you know, at one point that, you know what, I could contend in maybe some majors, but I always thought it, you know, the Open was one I thought I could contend in, but never at Augusta. I thought it might be a U.S. Open where you really had to hit a lot of fairways, you know, or golf courses that lend themselves to that. But amazing, you know, I mean, I still pinch myself often, especially this time of year when the Masters is around the corner. You start getting that mind frame, you can't help but think about the Masters tournament. So it's very surreal just knowing that I can keep going back to those hollow grounds to compete and be a part of Augusta National and its traditions.
Boy, having the emotional joy of winning the Masters and winning the Open Championship, and then you complete the trifecta. What were your emotions when you got the call from the PGA of America asking Zach Johnson to be the 2023 Ryder Cup captain?
Oh, I mean, a number of emotions. I mean, it's one of those times, one of those phone calls where, you know, you start reminiscing and you start kind of, you know, jogging back in your memories of how you got to this point, right? And, you know, I've said it. It's well documented that it you know, the Ryder Cup has been the best thing I've ever been associated with on a professional level. I love everything about it. Certainly the team aspect, certainly representing our country, representing a bunch of guys, you know, representing the PGA of America. I'm a product of the PGA of America. But I just have so much reverence for that event, for that cup, for that, I mean, I would say celebration of competition. I love what it entails, what it requires out of each individual, depending upon what kind of hat you're wearing in it. It's not a bad hat. I mean, you'd rather compete, you know, as a golfer more than anything, but you just really want to be a part of it. It is. Those are the weeks that I savor and relish the most. I share them with my wife. I'm certainly sharing this process with her. And knowing now that I'm leading the team, once I got that phone call I still I pinch myself. I had to check myself. I mean, full transparency, I feel like we have Team USA and each year it takes on a different form, but we do have a pretty, a pretty efficient and successful template in place. And so, I had to check myself in the sense that, hey, is it my time? Should I be leading this team? And when you have the vote of confidence, certainly of Seth Waugh and the PGA of America officials, but more so my peers, the Ryder Cup committee that we have now, and other peers that are integral in this process, well, then it became pretty apparent that, it's my turn and I have the capacity to do so. So that's a responsibility. That is something I hold very much, near and dear to me, something that, if it's a weighty situation, but one I look forward to and one I fully embraced. So I'm enjoying it and I can't wait for September.
Hey, Zach, which captain or captains had the greatest influence on you as a team member and why?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I've been around so many great legends of the game in that regard, American legends. I can't single one out. What I can say, Bob, is that I'll take little morsels from all of my experiences, all of my captains, and try to implement them. I mean, I think the beauty of what we've established as of late, in particular, is that we have this system in place now. We have this Team USA kind of template in place, and we've got a great thing going. It doesn't mean we're going to win every time, but we are able to put together a systematic way of putting the team together, of putting the week together. And in that, there's not really parameters, but there is a system, but the beauty of it is it's not overly rigid. You're able to take on the personality of your captain. And so that will be my responsibility. With my wife, and I look forward to it. But I've been fortunate. I mean, you're talking about some individuals along the way that I admire, whether it's Tom Lehman, Corey Pavin, all of my captains. I had Davis Love twice, and Tom Watson. I mean, a legend there. So I'll pick apart all of those. I mean, our most recent captain is Steve Stricker, and I've got him as a vice captain along with Davis, and two of the guys that, are first and foremost are friends of mine. But also, great competitors, two of the best I've ever competed with and against. So, I'm very fortunate right now. I'll have three more vice captains that I'll lean on. I just haven't quite put those together yet, but, we're getting close, and, we'll do it as a team. And that's the beauty of it.
2023 U.S. Ryder Cup captain Zach Johnson joining us on Musings on Golf. Hey, Zach, before we continue with Ryder Cup questions, wanted to get your thoughts about the USGA and RNA's proposed rollback of the golf ball at the game's highest level could occur as early as January of 2026. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's fresh in my mind. I mean, granted, it surfaced a while back, so that the rumblings of this proposal were, kind of starting to circulate. Well, number one, I think it is just that. It is a proposal, right? It's not necessarily concrete. I think they're trying to figure out what is, certainly get the temperature for, from me and my peers as to what we think. At least I hope that's the case. A 30,000 foot view. That's kind of the way I look at it. I don't really understand the motivations behind this. I've had many discussions, some with individuals of the USGA, and one in particular that I consider a great friend. And I know he said the same. So, even though, they, I understand where they're trying to come from. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think there's been a couple of individuals that said it best. I feel like we're trying to create a solution to a problem that does not exist. And the game of golf is in a great state right now. I think it's these entities in the game now that have to take that torch that and hold that responsibility and continue to try to make it grow. I mean, that's number one. I don't see how this helps that. I don't see where growth can come from. I don't see where continuity can come from. And, you know, in my tenure now as a professional, I mean, I've been on the PGA Tour board and certainly a PGA of America board member as a result. And I don't really understand, again, the motivations, because it just seems like there's the game is growing so much. We're in a great state. Why would we try to bifurcate our rules against those? The uniqueness and the beauty of our game is that anybody can go play, for the most part, play the tees we play with the same equipment we play with, you know, shoot, even the day before the tournament on a Wednesday, right? And so why would we alter that? I mean, you know, maybe they're not fair comparisons, but, you know, other sports, they evolve too. And we're going to continue to evolve. We have bigger and better athletes. When it comes to this game now, I mean, golf fitness is an industry. Shoot, golf recovery is an industry. That wasn't the case when I first started. I mean, these guys are, as they make that transition from amateur to pro golf, it's a small step up now. It's not, you know, the competition obviously increases, but as far as being acclimated, getting a team together, understanding, you know, where your priorities may have to lie as far as how you break up your pieces of the pie, that's already done. They know what they're doing. And so guys are more prepared. They swing it faster. The knowledge and the wisdom behind the golf swing is immense. And more than that, you know, I think if we were to make the change, the ripples of that change on a professional level is so substantial. I think it would be extremely, brash. I just don't understand why they feel they have a better pulse on professional golf more than the PGA Tour or the PGA of America or those that are in professional golf on a day-to-day basis.
Boy, great insight. Zach, the Ryder Cup matches, as we record this interview, roughly 6 months away to be played outside of Rome. Wonder what your current thought process is as captain, and what's a typical day like for you these days as your team kind of begins to take shape?
Sure. Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, I am kind of wearing two different hats right now, right? I mean, I still want to go out and compete. I still want to do what I'm called to do and what I feel like I'm designed to do, and that's compete and play golf. But I guess that's also the beauty of where I'm at. I'm still, you know, I can still go out and play with these guys. I'm not, you know, I haven't made the leap to that 50 year old club yet. So mm-hmm. I'm still playing on the PGA Tour at a pretty high clip. I don't play as much as I once did, but that's okay. I mean, I've got three kids and other things going on, but yeah, I mean, the team's starting to take form, but there's still so many points out there, the volatility. And I would say I don't want to make any preconceived notions on this guy or that guy, because there's still so many points out there. I mean, I think there's still a chance of a guy or two that is not a part of the discussion that may not even be on our radar right now that will be on that radar come August. We've seen it before, right? I mean, shoot, no one really knew who Will Zalatoris was prior to that U.S. Open and then the Masters, right? I mean, he had, you know, in two or three majors there, he became a focal point of maybe trying to make that Steve Stricker's team at Whistling Straits. So Scottie Scheffler, kind of another example, right? You know, I mean, guy, we knew who he was, and maybe the avid golfer did, but he hadn't done anything in the game at a high level. And then he plays in the Ryder Cup, and next thing you know, he's number one in the world in about 6 months later. So 7 months later, whatever it may be. So there's going to be those stories, and that's the beauty of the PGA Tour, of just creating opportunity. That's the beauty of professional golf. And certainly in my role, I mean, that's the beauty of where I'm at. I'm going to you know, I'm going to start to piece some things together with a lot of help, but I don't know who these guys are yet. I gotta, you know, there could be some guys that I'm just not familiar with yet. And, I'll make it a priority to play golf with them, have dinner with them, and just be present. I have that luxury.
You mentioned about still being very competitive on the PGA Tour. How do you go about compartmentalizing as a player? You've got the Masters coming up, PGA Championship at Oak Hill in May, and so forth and so on. How do you compartmentalize competing in these major events with being the current captain?
That could not be more apropos. That's the word I use the most when it comes to those individuals that I admire, and certainly ones that I feel are kind of have a good grasp of things, and they're able to compartmentalize. I think the best players I've been associated with, it's almost inherent to them, and it's an innate quality where they can, whatever may be going on outside the ropes, they can kind of push it aside and get back to right where their feet are. Right. And I think it's kind of cliche, but that's the way you have to operate. That's the way I go about it. I mean, I know when I leave my house, when I go practice, I know what I'm going to do. I know exactly how often, I know exactly how much time I'm going to devote to each part of the game. I know, you know, from what time to what time I'm going to be there. I have to. I mean, if I want to be efficient and effective, that's what I have to do. And so when it comes to the Ryder Cup and when it comes to, you know, playing and all of my priorities, you have to compartmentalize. You have to give each their desired attention, you know, given the time period. But then more than that, in that compartmentalizing, you have to rely on certain individuals. I've got a great team of individuals, whether it's the Ryder Cup and the PGA of America, whether it's my team of coaches, or certainly my wife and my family at home as my number one team. They all, you know, deserve my time and my complete devotion. But number one is home. Number one is being home, being present. Three kids, two of which are almost teenagers. That's my priority.
Well, it's a good priority to have. And I get a little bit of chuckle, Zach, because, you know, sportsmanship is a huge part of the Ryder Cup. And on the European side, you have Luke Donald, a perfect gentleman, and we're fortunate to have Zach Johnson at the helm for our American team. And what I often say, people ask me, what's that Zach Johnson guy like? I said, well, as fine a golfer as he is, he's even finer off the golf course. So I don't think there's going to be any pressure either by you or Luke to deliver good sportsmanship to this Ryder Cup coming up in Rome.
Well, that's kind. I appreciate that sentiment, Bob. I mean, well, number one, you said it. I mean, I am so fortunate to be able to do this with Luke and Diane and Team Donald. He's been a friend for a long, long time. And I know this will make us, you know, a little bit closer as friends too. So, you know, we're competitors, you know, and we love our country. We love our nation. We love where we're from. He loves Europe, and he should. And that's the beauty of the cup, right? Is that every 2 years it transfers, it moves. And, but so honored to go through this, this journey with him. And you said it, I mean, there's more to it than just us hitting a little white golf ball. Right. And I think if we can keep that in perspective, that's great. The only drama that I want to see the week of the Ryder Cup are those massive tee shots that the teams hit, the long putts, the chip ins. That's the drama. And everything else, you know, we're just going to let it settle down and go play golf and try to represent our team and our nations the best way we can, because that's what the Ryder Cup deserves. That's why it was created, and it's our responsibility to keep it going that way. So I'm confident that, you know, we've got the right ensemble of individuals to help maintain that. And again, I can't stress enough how lucky and fortunate Kim and I are to go to do this with the Donalds. Even though they're our adversary, they're certainly also a part of, you know, more than that, they're deep friends.
talking with Zach Johnson, the captain of the 2023 Ryder Cup team. You know, I'd like to ask you what the keys are to the U.S. winning the Ryder Cup on foreign soil for the first time since 1993. And I'll tell you, I was at the Belfry in 93. And if somebody were to say, well, that's the last victory for the next 30 years for the Americans, I probably would have had the guy arrested.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. I mean, let's just look at it factually, right? It's hard. It's hard to win over there. They've obviously got something going that works, and my guess is that that'll be exactly what Luke tries to do. I mean, he'd be foolish not to. I don't seem to know the inner workings, nor should I. That's part of the beauty of the Cup. But regardless of who their 12 are, they're going to be really good. They're going to be hungry. They're going to be fierce, and they're going to compete their tails off. And that's exactly what we're going to have to do. I mean, my mentality in all of this, Bob and Kelly, is I want to approach it as, man, what an opportunity, right? What a great opportunity to go into the difficult. I, as a competitor, have always enjoyed the situations, the arenas, the environments that are very trying. That's how I'm wired. I love seeing teams or individuals that shouldn't do. And that's how I kind of want to give it to my team. I mean, I know we're going to have studs. I mean, they're thoroughbreds. Every one of them, all 12, are going to be highly accomplished players. And so were theirs. But it's going to be, you know, my role to try to make the most uncomfortable week as comfortable as possible, fully knowing that that's not possible, if yeah. That makes sense. And I love that. I mean, I want them to embrace and relish what's hard, because that's why we play. That's why we practice. We want to be in a position that tests us in all aspects, physically, mentally, emotionally, technically, and I would argue spiritually. So the Ryder Cup encompasses that. And so, you know, it's been 30 years, but what a great opportunity. You know, we're going to go in there with nothing to lose, everything to gain. And I think that's a pretty lethal notion right there. But it's going to be hard. Marco Simone is a great test, and that team will be very formidable.
We are deep into the back nine with Zach Johnson, the 2023 U.S. Ryder Cup captain. Hey, Zach, you mentioned earlier how much the Ryder Cup has meant to you. I wonder if you could give us maybe a couple of favorite Ryder Cup memories for you that have stood out as a player.
Sure. I mean, man, there's been so many, but you know, I think about it as a fan first and foremost, right? I think about the war at the shore. I think about, certainly what happened at Brookline in 99. I mean, some of those guys are now my dear friends. So I think about those two in particular, cause there were wins. But yeah, as far as some specifics, you know, it's hard to narrow it down to a couple here and there. Again, they're the highlights. As a player, they were the highlight week of my year, regardless of what I did prior. You know, it's the best thing I've been associated with as a golfer. And so, you know, I can give you a couple specifics. And number one was my very first experience. I was playing in Ireland for Captain Lehman. Oh, you have to help me out with the year here. 2006, I think it was. Yeah, 6 in Ireland. And I remember Captain Lehman, he sat me the first session on Friday. He said, hey, you're going to play in the afternoon in foursomes with Chad Campbell, which is alternate shot. And I'm like, okay, that's great. He's like, so sleep in, go through your normal routine, do what you need to do. Just be ready. I'm like, yes, sir. So my wife decided to go out early, though, that Friday and actually watch the first tee and experience that and that kind of thing, you know, just to see the groups off in, sure, in foursomes. Or four ball, excuse me, in four ball. And so she came back to the room. She goes, oh, my gosh, that's the loudest arena I've ever seen or heard in my life. I'm like, that's great. That's really great. That's all I need to hear right now as a rookie is right. How loud and how rambunctious this European crowd is going to be on the first tee. She goes, it's so loud. And I'm like, great. And she goes, but she goes, hey, they went into their bag. They got a tee out and a golf ball. They pulled their their club out of their bag. They teed it up and they hit it down the fairway, and then they hit it again and they hit it on the green, and then they put it in the hole. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, it was really quick. It was really weird. She's like, I can't, it was still just golf. And I'm like, gosh, that was a lot. Even though that's simple, that's kind of how I operate. It was so good just to hear that, especially come from her, because she knows my game and knows the way I think better than anybody. So that's what I tell the rookies. I'm like, guys, you're going to be a better player when you leave here, regardless of how you play. You just are. You're going to be tested in so many different ways and have so many different things shot at you. You can't not be tested, but you're going to be a better player. You know, obviously Scottie Scheffler is an example, right, of what he did at Whistling Straits and then his year after. I mean, I would look at 2006. I mean, I hadn't done much on the tour. At that point, I think I'd won one time. But the next year, I went at Augusta, and then I won another tournament. I mean, it just makes you – if you can compete and execute in that arena, you're going to be a better player as a result. And so that's the beauty of that cup. I mean, it you know, somebody said the weight of each shot is like coming down the stretch of a major championship. And there could be some truth in there. It's hard to compare. That's just a hard comparison. But there could be some truth in that. And I think again, that is why we play. That's why we love the cup. And you know, we play such an individual game for the most part. I know we have a team, but as far as, you know, just execution, but when you have a partner, when you have a team, when you band together, and I'm a team guy, I love team sports. It's just special is the only word I come to. It's the best.
Final question from me before I turn it over to Bob, Zach. And speaking of comparing, how do you compare being Ryder Cup captain to having won the Masters and having won the Open Championship?
Well, again, it's such a hard comparison. You know, which one's your favorite? You know, it's like trying to determine which kid's your favorite. You mm-hmm. can't. I mean, they all have its place. They all are kind of just an interwoven part of my golf story. So, you know, bottom line is, you know, I've been fortunate to play this game at a high level for a long time. I should be knocking on wood right now with minimal to no injuries. at 47 years old, you know, I've had some nicks and knacks, but nothing significant. And I still have the desire to go out there and compete. So, yeah, you know, those three accolades right there. Shoot, and I'm not trying to brag here, but I would throw the Payne Stewart Award in there too as one of the highest apex summit things I've ever reached. Granted, it's an honor. It wasn't, you know, something I necessarily earned, but it was all of these things right here. What they do for me, guys, is it just puts things in perspective as to, I think, what God gave me innately, but then also who he put in front of me and around me. These are the moments, whether it's a major championship, an award, or being able to lead a team like the Ryder Cup, those are the things that you just really, it really highlights how many individuals that don't get enough attention deserve it. And I'm talking about my coaches. I'm talking about my family. I'm talking about my sponsors. They give me the freedom to play this game. Whatever team they may be a part of, I'm so fortunate and blessed in many ways in that regard. So, you know, I am just a small piece of this team. That's the way I know. My job is to take the burden off the players so they can go do what they do best, and I'll deal with everything else. I want the attention on their golf balls, not necessarily anything outside the ropes. And so that'll be my job, and I will take that job and run with it.
Well, Zach, having known you personally, I know if you get to Rome and you use your faith to be your playbook for this Ryder Cup, whether you win, lose, or draw, it's going to be a special one because you are going to be a special captain.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate you. You do just like anything. There's so much substance here. There's so much gravity to it that you just don't want to mess it up, right? I mean, it's got to be more than you. It's more about Team USA. It's more about these 12 guys playing shots. I hope that's what's showcased. I hope that I'm just an occasional quote here or there, because that trophy, that gold Ryder Cup, deserves all the attention. So I appreciate you saying that.
Zach Johnson, this has been absolutely terrific. Thanks so much for joining us on Musings on Golf, and the very best of luck for the rest of the year and into Ryder Cup 23.
Hey, my pleasure, John. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Your most important shot is the one you're about to hit. And whether it's the first drive of the day, a difficult approach from a tight lie, or a bunker shot to save par, you need to know your golf ball will perform exactly the way you need it to. Superior performance on every type of shot. It's why the majority of the world's best players choose the Pro V1 or Pro V1X, and why you should too.
Bob, like we tried to set that up, Zach is a straight shooter. And if I'm the PGA of America, I feel really good about the qualities of who he is and his capabilities to lead this team and represent the U.S. well and find a way to win on European soil come this fall in Rome.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, as a result of that match play, I would be willing to bet right now Zach Johnson has his eyes set on maybe a Scheffler-Burns pairing at the Ryder Cup. They certainly would be a formidable duo, to say the least. So let's wrap this up, our first edition of Musings on Golf. Zach Johnson was our guest. Hey, guess what? Who do we have next week, Kelly Elbum? You tell him.
Another two-time major champion, specifically two-time Masters champion, Ben Crenshaw, will be joining us next week. And as always is the case with Ben, it's a great visit, and you're going to learn and hear some great stories about the special event at the Augusta National Golf Club. Hey, Bob, we're off and running. This has been a great start. Looking forward to many more episodes of Musings on Golf. Kelly Elbin signing off for Bob Upka. Thanks for listening. We'll see you down the road.